So we started last week in this new sermon series that we're simply titling Jesus Is, and reflecting on the vision here at Finland of leading all people into the presence of Jesus Christ. And so we asked and answered the question, why Jesus? Right? We talked about different options that we could lead people to, but if you missed it, you can certainly listen to it online if you desire. It's up there. But for the sake of moving forward today, we saw last week how Jesus is the only person in all of history to overcome humanity's biggest problem, and that would be death itself. And when we think about it that way, then it's clear that there's not even a close second to Jesus in who we want to spend our time leading other people to, who we want to spend our time leading ourselves to. And so that's why we want to lead people in our lives to know Jesus, to follow Jesus. And now that we've kind of answered that question, at least to a certain degree, we're gonna spend the rest of the sermon series really unpacking the question, who is Jesus? Right? Who is Jesus? Because it matters who someone is, doesn't it? I mean, take children, for example. Growing up, my sister and I, we were like this. We were tight, we were close. She always had my back. I knew she would watch out for me and could trust her and rely on her for anything. So we were about as tight as siblings could possibly be. And yet, if she would see me doing something that she knew I wasn't supposed to, and she would say, Chris, you shouldn't do that, it never quite carried the same weight as if it was my mom or my dad saying that to me. Right? And I see this with my own children now, trying to help correct one another, and hey, you shouldn't. But if I step into the room, or if Ginger steps into the room, and we go, that's not acceptable, right, it immediately stops, because it matters who someone is. And it's not just kids. I can't tell you how often I saw this play out at Haynes and Kibble House when I worked there. So, like my first or second year, they always had company meetings. When you have a company as big as theirs, they had to go, and there were 12 different company meetings in 12 different regions with clusters of companies that would attend these meetings, and like my second year, they asked me to start going. I was overseeing training, and they brought me up front in the middle of a company meeting, and you got Scott Haynes and Jim Haynes and John Haynes kind of all standing behind me, and they kind of had me in the midst, and they said something along the lines of this to the company. This is Chris. He's in charge of training. He goes not only with our blessing but with our authority, so if he says anything, it's the same as if we said it. And I'm like, wow, thanks, you just made my job simple, right? Now let me ask you this, the first superintendent that I called, do you really think they remembered what Jim, Scott, and John said about me at the company meeting? No, it was like pulling teeth still, because when it came down to it, I am not a Haynes, right? They're a Haynes, and so if they called, it was, yes, sir, we'll get them there right away, this won't be a problem, sir, and all this, but for me, I was just the messenger. And it's okay, because it matters who someone is. Let's say you're driving. Someone's riding your bumper, okay? Everyone see that picture? You're driving. Someone's like so close you feel like they're on a trailer to your vehicle, okay? Probably matters who they are, right? If that person behind you is an ambulance or a cop with their lights flashing, you're probably not going to brake check them the same as if it was just somebody who's riding up really close to you that you're like, back off, all right? Or you do that little wheel thing. That's what my dad taught me. He said, no, you just take the wheel and you go really fast and you swerve your car and it scares them so much. So I'm not authorizing or suggesting that you do that, but just telling you some of the advice I've received over the years. But you don't do that if it's a cop, right? He would have been very quick to say that. So it matters who somebody is. That's the main point here. And history would support this. First time ever, maybe this comes to a shock to some of you, but I saw Mulan for the first time ever this past year. Yeah, I know, it's like 20 years old or whatever. I finally got to see it, okay? And Mulan, perfect example of this, right? It's China, they're being invaded, and only males can fight in the army, so Mulan chops her hair off, pretends to be a guy. No one has a problem with her when they think she's a guy, but the moment they find out she's a girl, it's like, well, you got to be beheaded now. Like, wow, that's a pretty drastic change, but it matters who you are, right? And so the author of Hebrews, he knows this, and he's actually appealing to this in the very beginning parts of the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be spending a lot of time in the book of Hebrews. New Testament, near the end of this section called Letters. It's actually, again, one of those Bible books that's easier to find if you go to Revelation and start turning to the left. You'll probably find it quicker. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to use the blue ones in the seats in front of you. And if you don't own a Bible, as always, you can make that blue one yours so you can continue digesting this and reading this and coming to God through the Bible at home on your own. But for the sake of this morning, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And there's a lot here, and we're not going to hit on everything. We're going to do our best and see where God leads us. So here we go, Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So a couple of things we want to unpack from this four-verse opening in the book of Hebrews, which sort of sets the stage for the rest of what we're going to receive from Hebrews. But the first one I just want to say is, it's a pretty obvious one, but I just want to make sure we didn't miss it. God speaks to his people. All right, we don't serve a God that stays far off. We don't serve a God who remains silent. We don't serve a God who doesn't know how to speak our language, right? We serve a God who pursues and speaks to his own people. Now, long ago, it was through the prophets. It said that in verse 1. But it said in these last days, through his Son. In these last days, through his Son. Apparently, the people of Israel were very much like the people of Haines and Kibblehouse. And so they didn't necessarily listen as well when it was just a messenger delivering the message. So God came himself, right, through his Son. I just don't want us to miss that part. God speaks to his people. Now his Son would be who? Okay, we're on a good start. Son would be Jesus. So Jesus is the Son. What do we know about him according to these four verses? Well, some pretty incredible things here. Jesus is the heir of all things. All things. He is the heir of. He's the means by which God created the world. He's the means by which God created the world. Continues to go on and says, he's the radiance of God's glory. How is all this possible? He sums it up here. He says he's the exact imprint of God's nature. Right? The exact imprint of God's nature. Now maybe, like me, you think imprint, and the first thing that comes to your mind, because we just got snow, and you see like our footprints that we leave behind, or if you went out and played in the yard, there's always a footprint, so you see the imprint of your foot, or if parents out there, or grandparents, you have any of those crafts where we take our little children's hand and we stick them in those molding things, and then we make either Christmas tree ornaments or nice little display plates, and my mom actually still has mine from when I was little. My kids love looking at how little my hands were. And we think, oh, well, that's an imprint. And that's what this is talking about. He's the exact imprint of God's nature. We think handprint or footprint or some kind of thing we leave behind. And that actually falls way short of what this scripture is actually saying. Right? Because that footprint isn't the same as my foot. Right? It's the mark my foot leaves behind. So that footprint's just a told you I was there. It doesn't tell you what I look like. It doesn't show you what my foot looks like. It's not my foot, right? And so when it says the exact imprint of God's nature, nature means essence, same substance, right? The Greek word is hypostasis. And this word in Scripture in relationship to God is only used ever to describe Jesus' relationship with God. No one else is hypostasis with God. but Jesus. Right? You and I, we're made in what? God's image. Right? We're made in his image. It doesn't mean we're in his essence. Jesus is made in his essence. And this is huge because here's what this boils down to. Either Jesus is God or he's not. Right? He either is God or he's not. There's no in between. There's no, oh, well, he was a good teacher. He led people well. He was compassionate and loving. But was he God? I don't know. But he was certainly strong in teaching. And no. It's one or the other. Right? And why do I say that? Because if he's not God, then we're in trouble. Because verse 6 says this. Let all God's angels worship him. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. He says, you, Lord, this is talking about the Son, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Like a garment, they will be changed, down in verse 12. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. If Jesus isn't God, right? If he's not God, then Christianity is one of the most evil things in the world, based on the Bible itself. Right? Because if you go back to the Old Testament, what does it say? Don't worship false gods. Don't have idols among you. And yet, Hebrews is saying, let all God's angels worship Jesus. Friends, if Jesus isn't God, there's no... He's either God or he's from Satan himself. And we just need to be clear about that. There's no in-between on this one. And if he's God, which is what we're going to go with, just to be clear on that too, if he's God, which we believe he is, which Hebrews definitely testifies that he is, then that matters because who someone is matters. This has profound impact on you and me, and here's three ways in no particular order. Right, so this isn't like I figured out which was the most important of these three. Here's at least three ways that this impacts us in our everyday life. First is this. God does not want a mediator between you and him. Right? God does not want a mediator between you and him. It says long ago he spoke through the prophets. He knows what that's like. He knows where that's led. And what that led to was exile for his people. He doesn't want us in exile. Right? He wants to have a direct relationship with you. Whether you're 2, 12, 22, keep going, 92. He wants to have a direct relationship with you. So are you going to God directly? Or are you settling for a mediator? Right, that's really the question. Are you reading God's word yourself? Or are you content to let your Sunday school teacher tell you what the Bible says? Right, are we spending time in prayer ourselves? Or are we content knowing that our parents and grandparents are probably praying for us? So we don't really need to. Is your faith yours? Or are we living through someone else's? Right, a couple years ago, I would have been closer to that camp. I was the typical read the latest Francis Chan book. Right, great author, really gets you thinking and motivated to do some things. But here's the problem: I'd read the book, I'd hear about all the great things he's going, I'd go, "Good job, Francis." I'd put the book down and I'd go on life as usual. There was no change because I was just living through Francis Chan's faith journey. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading Francis Chan. I still read his books. But are we content to live through someone else's faith experience? God speaks to us, and the invite is for you to have a relationship directly with him. Now, for the sake of this sermon series, we are giving those dig deeper sheets that every even chapter will guide you through those on your own, at home with your whoever is at home with you. Maybe it's a small group, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your family, maybe it's yourself, maybe it's coworkers at work. But we want to equip you to be able to enjoy this relationship directly with God himself. So that's the first one. God does not want a mediator between you and him. He wants you directly. Second, and again, these are going to seem awfully simple, but what it means to us is usually bigger than what it first seems. Jesus is God, right? Not us. We already said, we're made in God's image. Jesus is God's essence. The problem, however, is we often act like we're made in God's essence. We want to set ourselves up as God. As a parent, right? We want our kids to obey, right? Who in here wants their kids to obey? Okay. Who in here has ever gotten really angry and frustrated at your child for not obeying? Okay, I'm not going to put these words in your mouth, but I'm going to tell you some of the thoughts that I've had over the years is, you will obey me because you're just going to obey me, right? There's not because it's the right thing to do, because God even says that that's what you're supposed to do. It's, no, you're going to obey me because I'm your God. That's really what's going on in the back of our heads. You're going to worship me. You disrespecting me is actually, right? So we set ourselves up as God. That's why we get so offended. If I wasn't putting myself in that position over Chloe and Logan, if I really did buy into more and more that they're not my children, they're God's children, and he's entrusted me to raise them to know him and love him and follow him, that changes. Because guess what? I don't usually get as upset at your kids if they're at my house and they disobey. It's like, oh no, Jimmy, that we don't do that here. We do this here. Right? And I've heard other parents say that to kids when you get this like real gentle voice. And your own kids are like, who's he? And what's that gentle voice? We don't get that treatment. What, right? And because there's this weird thing that goes on, but that's what's at the base of it. We're trying to establish ourselves, thinking ourselves, but we're not God. Right? Jesus is God. There's another one, a very, I'm not going to say much more insidious, but a very insidious thing of addiction, which would be pornography. They say 50% of men right now are addicted to it, right? And it's more than a sexual sin issue. It's a God issue. It's a person establishing themselves, trying to put themselves as, I am God. You will do what I say, when I say, how I say, whatever it is, whenever I want, right? That's the heart issue behind it. Trying to establish yourself as a God over someone else to do my will, do my bidding, whatever that means. Right? So if you're struggling with that and you're saying, I've tried this, I've tried that, then realize that at the core of it, it's more than just an addiction. It's even more than just a sexual sin. It's a trying to put yourself in the place of God. Maybe one that reaches more of us is this whole idea that you decide what's true and I'll decide what's true. Theory that's going around right now, and we want to call it postmodern and post-truth and all these fancy terms we put it, it's just blasphemy, right? It's blasphemy. It's, I'm trying to set myself up as God. And it's not new. In fact, it's the oldest sin we have dating back to the garden, which was Adam and Eve saying, I don't need you, God. We'll eat that fruit and we'll decide what's right and wrong. We'll exert ourselves. We'll make ourselves gods of our own domain. When we decide what's right and wrong, instead of asking God what's right and wrong, when we determine your right and wrong no longer matters, that was for a different time and a different context, so we don't care about it anymore, it doesn't make sense anymore. That's all of us, right? And anyone that's, if we've said that or we know people who say that, the issue isn't a truth issue, it's a God issue. And Hebrews sets out from the start, Jesus is God, not anybody else. And going with that, too often there's this theology that wants to separate Jesus, and maybe you've heard this, like people want to say, oh, well, Jesus is the God of the New Testament, and then Yahweh is the God of the Old Testament, and that's just bogus, false theology, right? Because what this tells us is that Jesus is God, Yahweh in the flesh, same essence, same substance. Maybe you've heard it said this way. This is how I've heard it said. I heard people try to argue things because it's only found in the Old Testament. And they'll say things like, well, Jesus didn't say that. Well, if you read the Gospels, Jesus never even commented on that topic. And it's like, yeah, but by the way, it's in, and, oh yeah, but that's Leviticus, that's the Old Testament. So, I thought Jesus was the same as Yahweh. Same substance, same being. Right? So all that's trying to do is separate the two. We can't separate the two. They're the same person. Right? That'd be like trying to take a piece of yourself out of yourself and go, no, that's not me anymore, but it really is, but you're just trying to suppress it. Like, they exist together. So no separating. If you have a hard time understanding some of the things that God does in the Old Testament with some of the things that God does in the New Testament, well, welcome to following God. Right? It doesn't always line up. It's not always clean and neat. It's often messy, but life's messy. Right? So we don't do that. Jesus is God, not us. And so see, as we lead people, including ourselves, to Jesus, we aren't just leading them to some carpenter in a poor family in the ancient Near East. Right? We're leading them to God himself. I was at Greaterford's prison a little bit ago helping to lead a Bible study. And it was only my second time there, but we went through it first time alone. And guys were great, had a wonderful Bible study. And anytime you go anywhere in Graters for a day, they escort you. Right? And I'm often thankful for that as you're walking down the halls. And there's some pretty big dudes in there. And I'm like, oh, I'm thankful this guy's next to me. So I'm being escorted. We're making small talk. This guy's talking to me about like home heating units and this and that. And I had asked, hey, is there a bathroom we can stop through? So he's leading me to the bathroom. And that kind of broke up the train of thought. And then he turns to me and he's like, so you really think this makes a difference? I'm like, what's that? He's like, you know, these Bible studies, you know that, like, and he rattled off some statistic. I forget what it was. So I'll just change the statistic to most. Right? He's like, you do realize most of these guys come back 2, 3, 4 times, end up spending their lives here. So what, you really think you're actually making it, like, this is really worth your time to come here? And I wanted to turn to him and go, it sounds more an indictment on your system, doesn't it, than on my Bible study. But I'm thinking, no, that's not the best. I could disappear in this place, probably. So I'm like, I don't think that's what God wants me to say in this moment. Fortunately, I had a long walk down a hallway to where this bathroom was, and it gave me some time to think and reflect and go, okay, Lord, you got a good response to this guy? Because again, it's only my second time. I didn't even have stories to share. Like, I couldn't be like, well, look at, what about this and what about that? And you've got to admit there's change in Bob or Jim, and I didn't even have any of that. And so, you know, I come walking out, and I feel like God laid something on my heart and walked up to the guy. And he asked a very good question. Does this actually make a difference? And the only thing I came up with was, you know what, I don't know if it's going to make a difference or not, but I do know what Christ did to me and how he changed me because someone led me to follow him. And if he can change me, then I have hope he can change anyone that we lead him to. And that hope is grounded in the fact that Jesus isn't just another good teacher, right? It's not grounded in the fact that Jesus is just a wise philosopher that we follow his ways. It's grounded in the fact because Jesus is God himself in the flesh. So as we go this week, let's spend time with Jesus ourselves, right? Let's read our Bibles, talk to him, pray to him, and let's all see the difference that he makes in our lives and the lives of those around us. Let's pray. Lord, we realize that most of us in this room have heard that you are God. So much of what we talked about this morning wasn't new. But Lord, I pray that your power would be revealed as we follow this and trust in this. Submit to it, Lord. We sang the song, I Surrender All. Let us fully surrender to you this morning. For some of us, we need to surrender that we're not God, you are. And as easy as that is to say, it's not always as easy to do. So we pray for an anointing of strength for those who are going to be walking down that path with you. Jesus, for others, it's, we say you're God, but we don't really give you much time a day in our life. We pray that you would captivate those hearts who are in that position. God, ultimately our hope is that all of us would know you better, see you more clearly, and become more like you, and help lead others around us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.